Hello there, we're Vincent Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul, Rand McNally.
We've recently released our family's first almanac in over 50 years, and now we're setting out on a new journey.
Using Rand's old travel journal as our guide, we're visiting his 20 all-time favorite towns.
We'll be counting down the greats as given by our great-great-grandfather, and want you, the listener, to come along for the ride.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Greetings and hello, listeners. Welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as he is almost every week, he's got about a 50% track record up till now, is my brother, friend, and traveling companion, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
Hey, Elliot. I think 50% is a little bit uncharitable, I think, is the word that I would use. I've been here for all but two total episodes.
Well, I'm thinking of the back 10 that we're doing right now. You've been here for one of the two we've done so far. So that's 50% in my book. And who knows if you're really going to show up mentally to this episode. So I'm going to keep that down at a 50% for now, and we'll see what happens.
I'm definitely checked out emotionally already. So.
Well, you know, for this town, you might have to be. We're dealing with some pretty severe circumstances this week.
You're not kidding, Elliot. We are in a place, a town, in the heartland of America, which has taken emergency preparedness to a whole new level.
And at one point in history, our great-great-grandfather did exactly the same. He spent a week in this town, hunkered down in a bunker, waiting for the apocalypse to happen. And if you already know what town we're in, then you are probably a prepper. I think we should put this town on the map, Vince.
I think we should.
So, listeners, take out your comprehensive medallion. Take out the map. The map for this season.
I think we should empower our listeners to call it whatever they want.
You know what? Tell us what you think to call the map. You know, hashtag it. I don't know how Twitter works these days, but tell us some ideas so we don't have to do this at literally every single episode. Take out your map. Take out your medallions or your Crush Tab cola cans. Tab, pop open the flavor.
Thank you, Tab, for your continued patronage.
And get ready to stick that medallion or Tab pop can in Ortolan, Pennsylvania. Vince, we've already talked about why we're here. This is a haven for preppers of all kinds, but I know that we are very excited to welcome our guests to talk about all this and more.
Absolutely. Don't take our word for it. We have a citizen of the town itself and a prepper in their own right. If you would, please introduce yourself.
Well, hi. It's good to talk to you, boys. My name's Craig Honk, and I've been living here ever since I was born. I'm in my mid-40s now, getting up there. and just overall, getting ready for the big day.
You know what? You say you're in your mid-40s. I can't even tell because you're wearing a gas mask and sort of full Havoc gear right now.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Fallout and getting an idea of what is really going to come. And this is the idea that me and my family, we landed on.
And your family is sitting right behind you. You have three kids right there and your wife. Mm-hmm. You've forbidden them to speak in case there's any toxic fumes right in the RV. You didn't want them to breathe. They do have their gas masks on as well, though.
We're getting thumbs up from the family.
Yeah, I know that they I have them face the other way so they don't see any faces, and we don't want you to see their faces because, you know, they're not of age yet. But yeah, no, they're doing well.
And so growing up here, Craig, what was it like? I mean, did you grow up in a bunker? What was the housing situation like? What was the community like?
Yeah, you know, we don't like to use the term bunker. It has like a negative connotation due to various television shows. What we like to say is that it's our home. It's our down home. It's down underground. And growing up, we lived in an above ground home up until I was 12 when we started hearing all of the rumors coming through, and then my family went down under. For the past, 30 years now, we lived underneath the ground. I only go up for groceries, only go up for an occasional massage, and then, of course, to go to work, and that's about it.
And then, of course, the very occasional podcast interview.
very occasional. Gosh, you boys are funny.
I mean, you're so charismatic. I'm guessing you're going to get some inquiries to be on more podcasts after this one. We do have a few listeners, so, and maybe some of them have podcasts of their own. So you're saying that you have a house underground, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming most people do, but then the grocery store, the massage parlor, and your mm-hmm. office are all above ground.
That's correct. And it's a spa. Massage parlor has a lot of negative connotations. So yeah, it's just a normal spa. It's they're pretty popular. I mean, all across the town, everybody likes to try to stay relaxed, but yeah, there's a regular grocery store. We have a Wegmans. I work at a Verizon store. You got to pay the bills.
Absolutely. Sure. Those supplies won't buy themselves. Now, Craig, everyone in this town is agreed that the world is ending, but it's not always, you know, tete to tete on how it's going to end. What do the Hawk family believe is going to bring about the ultimate demise of planet Earth?
Sure. So just to follow up here, I may have been unclear due to my mask. It's actually Honk, H-O-N-K. Yeah.
Oh. My mistake.
Yeah, sir. I couldn't quite hear you through that thing.
Yeah, no, I apologize. So anyway, my family believes the truth and that at some point we're going to have an apocalypse. Everything that you read, the seven, it's in the Bible. What is it called?
The deadly sins.
Deadly sins. They'll all happen one after another on a Thursday in the middle of winter in 2019.
So that's so coming
we've
up.
We've still got a little time.
Well, it's all relative.
That's when it will end. That's when it will end. So at some point, between now and then, we got seven things coming.
Sure. That's sort of like the decay of man, four horsemen of the apocalypse type thing, right?
He said seven, Elliot. Are you even listening?
Well, there's four horsemen, and then I'm assuming they have three maybe helpers, which would make seven.
Yeah, three hamburger helpers. They're little hamburgers.
As it says in the good book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I think you just have a McDonald's menu right there. If that's what you believe and you say that's the truth, what are some conflicting ideologies of the apocalypse here?
Sure. So one is the popular one, which the Americans believe. It's space, you know, they think some of the space creatures are going to come down and they're going to take a bunch of them. Not going to happen. Sure. Another one thinks that the moon is going to crumble and come right at us. Not going to happen. That thing is glued pretty tight.
It's glued up in the sky, people. Come on.
To clarify that point, you mean it's glued to the sky or it's glued together?
It's glued together real well.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I was just clarifying.
Sure. Oh, no, I understand. And then the last one is the hole in the ground. So there are some people who believe and stay above ground because they think what's going to happen is everything's going to go into the ground. Kind of like one of those big holes, like a big hole, like a big black hole. They think everything's going to sink down in and the earth will implode.
Sure.
Which honestly, I could be swayed. That might happen.
So you kind of go either way, but at least you're set up for any of these inevitabilities.
Yes, that's correct. I dabble in some stuff here, yeah.
Elliot, what I always admire about this town is not just its people, but the preparatory lengths that they have gone to. I mean, they're called preppers after all. Mm-hmm. But talk about putting your money where your ideology is. And not to toot my own horn, but I did a little exploring. I tried to paint a picture for myself about what sort of preparations are going on in this town.
Well, even though you tried to paint it for yourself, I hope you'll share it with us in our next segment, The Weekly Where's Vince.
Now, listeners, The Weekly Wears Vince is exactly as I described it. I explore the neighborhoods, get to know them more intimately, especially, you know, sometimes I stay in one, sometimes I stay in many, but the end goal is always the same, to get a comprehensive look at what makes this town tick. And this week, I was in a town where there are some pretty hard lines drawn, not ideologically necessarily, everyone gets along here, but in the actual physical architecture. There's a lot of difference between a house that is an ark and a house that is a nuclear fallout shelter, for instance. So, Mr. Honk and the Honk family, they're waving. That's nice. They're
also giggling a little bit, too.
Is that your son?
Yeah, that's my son, Paul Honk.
Paul, hello. Yes, you're very sweet. So you were in the underground district, which was actually very difficult to navigate because, you know, it's just a bunch of holes with manhole covers and mailboxes. That's really all there is. But, you know, I want to know what you think, Mr. Honk, of the different neighborhoods. For example, let's talk about DEFCON Valley.
Okay.
It's all nuclear bunkers.
Yep.
Give me a little insight.
Okay.
Well, what's going on? What's going on in a place where you're surrounded by a steel dome 95% of your life?
You know, it's not too different from the neighborhoods that you see on HDTV, you know? Families are families. People are having cookouts. We have a get-together once a month where everybody brings a dish to pass. Paul makes his famous pulled pork. Oh, my gosh, he makes the best pulled pork you ever had. And, you know, we just kind of do what we do. We don't have to mow because there is no grass, but we do have to dust. It gets dusty down there. We have to set ant traps. Ants are always coming in. We're just a normal house, you know, nothing crazy. We got the Murphys next door, and they're always doing their thing. You know, they love technology, so they're always watching YouTube videos of how to use Google and all those websites.
They do sound like tech lovers.
They're watching YouTube videos of how to use Google.
Yeah, they love tech.
Seems like it. What I noticed, Vince, and I'm sure that you've seen this in your travels around town this week, is that everyone is very welcoming of each other's communities. There's a lot of HGTV shows, actually, about house swapping and house hunting and bunker hunting, hovel hunting, ark hunting, what have you.
I've observed that as well. A lot of Canadian TV crews.
Yes. It's just cheaper that way.
A lot of single cameraman operations. A lot of the, you know, the HGTV van that you're very familiar with. I don't know if you've ever watched Flip or Flop, for instance, but they've got these big white vans with the tree and the HGTV logo on it.
Sure. Craig, the Property Brothers actually lived with you for quite a while when they spent some time in Ortolan. Is that correct?
Yeah, they did. They lived here for about 10 to 15 years until they got divorced.
Oh, I didn't realize they were married.
Yeah.
Now, this is a bit of trivia, listeners. They accidentally married each other under Pennsylvania common law because they dwelt in the same shelter for too many consecutive days.
That is correct. Sure.
Oh, so like your entire family is married to each other.
Well, yeah. You have to go and just go to the city clerk and just make sure that all that they didn't accidentally marry you. You know, they, basically what they do is they assumed that you're married unless you go tell them you're not.
Yeah, don't be gross, Elliot. There's children involved. Come on.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, so this is a good point there, though. I expected a lot of rivalries, Craig. I expected, you know, the nuclear preppers, they don't like the zombie preppers who don't really like the rapture preppers. But actually, you're all kind of on the same page.
You know, if I can be frank with you, if I may, I would like to say that at first we had a lot of conflict. You know, when we first started this town back in 2002, people were really kind of at each other's throats. You know, they believed different ideologies. And what we did is we sat down, we had conversations with each other and sat and empathized and put ourselves in each other's shoes of like, if I believe this and people were coming at me, how would that make me feel? And honestly, we came together and kind of just listened and came up with, you know, we can respect each other while disagreeing with each other. And I think that that's the beauty of our town.
I think America could learn a few things from just observing this town. And, you know, Rand did too. He was in this territory. It wasn't a town, as you said, until 2002. But when he came here, he banded together and had his own conflicts with the indigenous people. And I'm talking about the mole people that already lived underground. And they don't think the world is ending, but they do want to live underground. And it was sort of like a peacekeeping ceremony to live harmoniously with them.
Yeah, we have a huge statue buried underground. No one's seen it in years, of Rand. He was a huge part of being a facilitator of sorts and figuring this stuff out. And we constructed that statue, buried it immediately, because we were worried that at you know the 2004 apocalypse was going to happen at the time, and then we forgot whereabouts it is. But yeah, he was really huge with helping us out.
So when these apocalypses are predicted and they don't happen, does morale get down? Or are you guys just hopeful for the next one?
Oh gosh, morale goes through the roof. You know, we were expecting to pass on, and then we aren't. I mean, what better news can you get? Can you think of any better news that you didn't pass?
I guess I can.
I have to admit, Craig, my head's spinning a bit here. I thought maybe there would be some sort of, not to overuse the term given the context, but emotional fallout, given that you had invested so much time, energy, and consideration into an end that you were sure of. But now that you say it, it makes a lot of sense. Your reward for being wrong is not dying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's truly remarkable. And the thing is, we know something else is going to pop up. You know, we know it's going to come eventually. That is a given. But, you know, it's interpretation thing, you know. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. At the end of the day, you still get to live another day. And gosh darn it, I have three wonderful children that I get to spend those days with.
Again, thumbs up from the peanut gallery back there.
They love it. Oh, he's showing you his tattoo, Paul. You see it?
Oh, yeah.
We can't see it through the hazmat, Elliot.
Oh, there it
well,
is.
There's like sort of a cellophane patch removed so you can see his tattoo.
Yeah, well, it says Atlanta Braves.
Wait, how old is this youngster here?
He's 13.
So he has tattoos and he knows his way around a kitchen. I think you're raising your kids right.
Here, hang on a second. Hey, turn around, Paul. It's a temporary tattoo. He has no idea.
Wow, you guys do like to have fun here in Ortolan.
Yeah, we're goofballs to the max.
Vince, I think we should keep this fun rolling in our next segment.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot.
That's what we call Random Thoughts.
So listeners, Random Thoughts is the spiritual successor to Wouldn't You Like to Know. We still have one writing question, but we also dig deep. We go back to the journal that Rand left us, his old travel journal. And we explore what made this one of his favorites by looking at what he wrote down. Elliot, go ahead and pop it open. Get out the hermetically sealed cigar box out.
Yep, here it is. And I don't want to pop it, Vince. We have to be pretty fragile with this thing. Remember, I will slowly creak it open. And we're going over to Rand's eighth most favorite town. Let's see what he had to say about this. Oh, this is very interesting, guys. So, of course, Rand was here before there was a huge population here, and he was sort of one of the pioneers of these different underground or makeshift shelters. And so he has a lot of sort of, I guess I wouldn't call them failed attempts, but rudimentary ideas and sketches of them that I think we should look at. Here's one that it seems like an igloo, but I know that this is made of bubble wrap. Do you think that's right, Vince?
Yeah, it looks to be that way. Interesting. Predates the invention of plastic by a little bit. But perhaps it could be a cloth bubble wrap, you know, maybe like a bunch of tiny pillowcases.
Here's another one. There's a note next to it. It says, three little pigs onto something, ? And then there's a little sticks house and a little brick house.
Funny to imagine, you know, three little pigs and houses.
It sure is, Craig. It sure is.
No, it's hilarious. But ideas come from anywhere, as they say. Craig, are any of these striking your fancy looking through them? Any ideas rattling around in the old gas mask there?
Yeah. You know, I just think of all the stories we would tell each other when I was growing up as a young boy, and the three little pigs remind me of one called The Three Little Thumbs.
What's The Three Little Thumbs?
Oh, it's this gorgeous story of these three siblings. They're all thumbs. It was Manny and Mike and T, and they were the best of friends until one of them became famous and got on the hit show Thumbelina. It was on CBS for years. And the other two got incredibly jealous. So that was T, the one who got famous, and Mike and Manny went there, because they were all identical, went to the studio and made him sleep for about an hour, and they played his part. It was a great story my mother used to tell us.
I don't know, Vince, I'm not quite getting the connection to Rand's journal and these ideas, but it is a lovely story.
Oh, I apologize. I messed. I went on a tangent.
Well, that's all right. It's about having conversations, Craig. You know, the podcast game, it isn't, you know, we could script this show if we really wanted to, but we don't. We love the tangents. That's how we learn.
Gosh, I'm embarrassed.
Okay, Elliot, maybe let's take a look at the next page. Let's get some more of these diagrams. I'm seeing one here. This is interesting. It's a picture, a self-portrait, crude, must be said, of Rand holding an umbrella, and that's crossed out. Now, next to it, he's holding two umbrellas.
Oh, and there's several circles around this one. Like, yep, this is... Oh, actually, it's written right next to it. Yep, this is the one. And then underlined.
And one is in all caps.
Craig, do you guys still use this umbrella method if you go outside, say, to the Verizon store to work, to the grocery store?
Mm-hmm. We do. We do, yeah.
What's interesting, I don't understand why Rand's umbrellas have, like, a Target symbol on them. I feel like you'd want them to be like camouflage or something, right?
Well, no, because the whole town is sponsored by Target. It's in our contract.
That makes sense. I mean, where else are you going to get your supplies?
That was back when Target was simply a fur trading enterprise. They've come a long way since then.
Target, the French fur trader.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was them. Well, they sell a lot more than furs now. Gosh, have you been to one of those stars?
We have been to a Target. Is Target any different here in Ortoland? I mean, they probably have certain supplies that the normal person in other cities, a non-prepper, wouldn't need, but you guys probably are flocking to.
Yeah, they do. They have a whole section dedicated to men's clothing, which is very helpful. I'm sure that's not in every Target, but they have They have sizes all the way up to double XL, which is perfect for me because I'm a double XL. And you know, they have like your normal clothes, a pair of jeans, some panties, socks, and then they have more doomsday stuff for men's, you know, a bigger coat. They have one of those blankets that's made out of the shiny material. There's a Starbucks. Yeah, they have all the good stuff.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 male doomsday preppers wish they had a bigger coat.
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and I'm reading that in Prepper Weekly.
Yeah.
Which actually you write for this.
I do.
You write, I'm paging through. It's an extensive publication despite being biweekly. Mm-hmm. And you write 60 to 70%. I'm just eyeballing of the articles.
Yeah, I do. You're right. It's about 65% every week is on me, which is of course, about 400 to 500 pages.
Is this? Yeah, no kidding. Is this your job?
No, I work at Verizon.
Oh, that's right. My mistake. Yeah, this is a hobby.
This is a volunteer. I volunteer and write articles.
What's nice though is that Verizon has partnered with you. So listeners, if you call *611, then you can get Craig reading you Prepper Weekly if you don't have the means or aren't in the vicinity of the distribution.
Yep. And if you press 2 right after it, I'll do it with a lower voice.
that's sultry.
While you're doing that, if you type 822, that's tab, you can go ahead and get entered into a contest where you can exchange 19 tabs to get $1 off your next tab. That's when you order a tab at a bar.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And if you dial *779, you get the audio of me performing the people's elbow on my son Paul.
So obviously there's a whole cavalcade of numbers to remember there, but I think the Verizon company has made it very easy to get the content that people are really clamoring for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true again. Wow.
Now, speaking of content that you all clamor for, we've got that in a very literal way. You've written us a letter, listeners, and we used to read 3. We learned our lesson. Now we read 1. And Craig, if you would so do the honors of reading our listener question of the week.
Yes, this is coming from Patrick Swan of Tennessee.
Oh, great. And what does Patrick have to say?
Hi. I would like to know, what kind of music do you listen to down under? Thanks for having an answer.
Well, very presumptuous, Patrick. Was he referring to Australia or... I guess this is addressed to here.
Yeah, it's addressed to here. But do you want me to answer the question?
Oh, please, yes.
Ideally, yes.
I mean, I could tell you what I listen to. I don't want to, you know, what I listen to is not what everybody listens to. You know, it's not fair to assume that, but I can say that. Is it okay if I speak?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Nelly Furtado. God, I love the gal.
So if you go down under underground in Ortolan, where most of Ortolan is, except for obviously the Target, the Verizon store, and the spa. You're going to hear Nelly Furtado reverberating through all the sewage systems and drain pipes. Is that what I'm gathering?
That's what you'd hear coming out of from my home. You know, me and my wife, Trish, and my three sons, that's what we like to listen to. So that's what you'd hear coming from our... During the day, we don't want to keep anybody up, but I'm Like a Bird is a gift and that we all should enjoy.
I'm Like a Bird. That's interesting. Do you ever get down with Promiscuous Girl?
I do. I absolutely get down. That's what me and my wife listen to before, well, never mind.
Craig, you cheeky son of a gun.
Yeah, I am. I really am.
Well, thanks for the question, and thank you, Craig, for the answer, and thanks for everyone who wrote in. Your letters that we haven't read have been donated to Tab's charity called Letters for Children.
Yeah, they didn't spend a lot of time coming up with that name.
Yeah, thankfully, unlike some not-for-profits, they've devoted their time and energy into helping children, not naming their organization. Terrible. And so they take discarded letters and they pair them up with children who can't read. And together, they hope to someday kind of will the children into being able to read by exposing them to a random sub-selection of language.
You know, they say that you learn reading through repetition, and a lot of the letters we've donated are about the movie Deliverance. And so just by seeing that and being comfortable and familiar with that grouping of letters, they're hoping that one day these children's vocabularies and literacy rates are going to skyrocket in a very limited capacity.
Yeah, now unfortunately, they do burn all letters that don't mention Tab Cola directly. So they're facing a bit of a shortage. So keep writing, listeners, and we'll keep donating. Elliot, we should just keep moving as well onto our next segment because I'm real excited about this one.
Me too, Vince. It's one we don't do too often, but we do it with the right town. It's one we call No Gifts, Ands, or Buts.
Now, listeners, you know how important gift-giving culture is to many spheres across the globe, and right here in the United States is no different. The world of souvenirs is all about remembering where you've been and getting excited for where you're going next. And so with No Gifts, Ands, or Buts, we exchange souvenirs with our hosts and our guests.
Now, Craig, we apologize. We didn't know that your entire family was coming, so we only have one gift for you, but we hope that you can share it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, no, we are grateful.
And prepping is about sharing, right? It's about camaraderie, and it's about family. So, kids, and your wife, Trish, why don't you guys come over here and open up our gift, and we'd love to see what we got you.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. This is gorgeous. You shouldn't have.
Well, we did. Can you tell listeners what it is?
It's a squished penny. What? Oh, and it has honk written right on it. You know, a portrait of each of us with our gas masks on. There's me, and then there's Trish. There's Paul. There's Steve. Clayton. Oh, you're gonna make me bawl.
Yeah. So we obviously know that preppers like to reuse things. So we found this squish penny. Vince, you've been taking those lithography classes, and I mean, the likeness of the portraits is amazing.
I have to say, zinc is an incredible medium to work in when it comes very to malleable. Lithography. Yes, typically your pewters and your irons, they just don't allow for the level of detail necessary to get those little breathing holes in each of the gas masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a stipple pointillization technique you used. It's stunning.
Well, only the best for what I have to say is, excuse my gushing, but one of the friendliest darn guests we've ever had.
Jeez, you guys, you're going to make me blush.
Yeah, you make a handful majority of the rest of our guests look like complete assholes.
No,
and gosh. You got us a gift, too, and so we're really excited to open this. Vince, do you want to take out this hermetically sealed box? And it looks like you've used old Verizon ads and some newspaper and dirt to package this.
Yeah, the premium stuff.
Ooh, and there's like a protective shell of old Razor phone cases. Allow me to pry this. Someone have like a crowbar or an Allen wrench or something?
I have some nail clippers here.
Oh, you have very large nail clippers. Okay, this will work fine.
Oh, here, let me take one side, Vince, and you take the other side.
All right, here, we're through. We're through. We're to the gooey center. Oh, Elliot. Elliot, it's one of these. We've been talking about this forever.
We have. It is a DVD and Blu-ray copy of Seeking a Friend for the End of the World with Steve Carell and Keira Knightley.
Wow. We've only seen the DVD version. So the Blu-ray version is like, it's going to be a whole new experience.
Yeah, well, I want you to take a guess of where I got it.
Let's see. I'm not going to say a spa.
No.
Was it? Wait a second.
Hold on.
Was it a Target?
It was a Target.
Oh. I'm glad you said that. I was going to say Blockbuster.
It was. First try.
Actually, there's a Target label right here. See, what I like about this is you're going to see all the commentary with this DVD and Blu-ray copy. Craig, can you give us a taste of maybe something that we'll see on the commentary or hear about from maybe Steve Carell himself?
Yeah, so Steve talks about working with Keira Knightley, and they go on and on about her role in other films, which is really fun to listen to. And I had no idea she had just a remarkable career. They take a deep dive into how she likes to act and where she grew up. So it's essentially a Keira Knightley interview interviewed by Steve Carell on top of a film. It's like a two-for-oneer.
It's like actors on actors. That's amazing.
I don't know what that is.
Elliot, that sounds pornographic. There's children. I know that they look like tiny adults because of their extensive hazmat gear, but a little respect.
It's like a GQ YouTube series. I thought that with your adeptness at YouTube, you guys would have known, but you should probably check it out. So there's no prepper advice on Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. It's strictly commentary about the comedic escapades of the movie and Keira Knightley's career.
Yeah, it's...
Isn't Keira Knightley a known prepper, though? So there's got to be some overlap.
Yeah, she eventually gets into it. She doesn't live here anymore ever since she became a famous actor. But she is out in the L.A. branch, and, you know, she'll do movies on the side, and then she'll prep for a little bit and go on and off. But, yeah, she's huge for our community.
Oh, great. So there are different maybe sister cities of Ortolan around the country.
There is. Yeah, they kind of go under the radar because, obviously, they're not as popular as Los Angeles or Peoria or, you know, one of the bigger cities.
The two great American cities.
Yeah. But, we you know, there's little pockets here and there. We kind of keep to ourselves.
People often say that Peoria is the Los Angeles of the Midwest.
Gosh, I hear it every day.
And then they say that Ortolan is the Peoria of north central Pennsylvania.
That is true. They say that, yeah.
Craig, this is obviously a great gift, and we hope that you like our gift. If someone was traveling to Ortolan and wanted to get a souvenir for someone back home, what would you suggest they get?
Absolutely. Well, I would recommend going to, gosh, I'm kind of stuck in between two things. I would either say, go to the Verizon store and come see me and get, I don't know, maybe like a 2-year plan, unlimited data, something along those lines. And then when you buy a phone, I give you a little tank, a tank top, and it has a picture of me and my family, and say, come again. And then the other thing I would go to is if you go to the Target, they have Starbucks, like I said, and they have a Frappocalypse, okay? And it is essentially all the leftovers, mix it with some coffee, and they give it to you. It is absolutely
the leftover drinks or also the pastries and sandwiches?
Everything that a Starbucks will serve into one, and they mix it with some coffee grounds.
I've heard about this. So at a normal Starbucks, if you see the staff going around and cleaning up the tables, what the Frappocalypse is they sort of sweep the crumbs into the cup first, and then it's like a parfait bottom.
That is very well said. That's exactly how it is.
I was at first disgusted, but when you evoked the word parfait, I'm suddenly into it.
Yeah, it's like trendy now.
There's no problem with that.
And I do want to point out a small disclaimer from the Verizon Corporation. Any phones that you yourself, Craig, would sell at the Ortolan branch of the Verizon store don't have GPS or cell service because that's a way that the government can track you. Is that correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
If someone is using a phone here, it's not really going to work, right?
Well, our flips work. We have a great line of flips that I would recommend. We like don't burner sell phones. And what's that?
Like burner phones.
I'm not familiar with is it on fire? What are you speaking of?
Oh, you know, like the phones that drug dealers use, so you can't trace them. You throw them away after one use.
No. Elliot, are you trying to get us hit with an M rating? That's going to be a nightmare for our iTunes ranking. We're going to have to compete with Joe Rogan.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, you've what got us Rogan'd again. Another episode against Rogan.
Every single week, it's like us and Joe Rogan at the top of the charts, and then he bests us.
Oh, gosh. You know, I thought my family were a bunch of goofballs, but heavens, I got a couple of them on the line right now.
Elliot, I guess I never thought about us like goofballs, but now that he brings it up.
Yeah, I thought we kind of played it straight, you know, but I guess we are sort of like a comedic duo, some might say. I don't know, I wouldn't, but, you know, some people would.
Would you say that, Craig?
Oh, my heavens, absolutely. 1,000% yes.
I'm just tickled. Elliot, should we just keep this energy flowing? Let's keep it rolling.
I think we should into our most energetic segment, Vince. Did you know?
Nice inflection, Elliot. I'm pretty critical of you in that department, but you've improved.
In all departments. But regardless, listeners, Did You Know is our weekly fast fire fact segment, firing five facts at you from whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one.
Let's hear it.
Did you know, aside from Keira Knightley, there is a huge celebrity that lives in Ortoland, Pennsylvania?
Who is it, Elliot?
Vince and Craig, I'm sure you know him intimately. He's the Can You Hear Me Now guy from Verizon, who has since gone to Sprint, and he's sought solace and some reprieve here in Ortoland because of the huge backlash.
Yeah. Gosh, it's hard to talk about Don.
His name's Don?
Don. D-A-W-N.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don Washington.
So what kind of prepper is Don Washington? Or is he a prepper at all? Is he just sort of forced to live here?
Well, you know, he kind of, like our family, he sometimes spends some time with us and spends some time with the Murphys and the Donaldsons. And he kind of, you know, tries to fit in where he can. He seems like a lost soul ever since he chose to do the Sprint commercials. I think that ultimately it may have helped his paycheck. But I think what actually is hurting now is probably his soul, his heart. He doesn't seem to be the same happy self as when he was with Verizon.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like a Steve Bartman scenario where everyone in Chicago hated him, and then the Marlins paid for him to move to Florida. I mean, Sprint is paying for him to live in Ortoland in safety.
Yeah, they are. And you know, of course we're going to be accepting. You know, that's just who we are. It's in our fabric. That we wouldn't have it any other way. But I think his worst enemy at this point is not Verizon, but unfortunately, it's himself.
Insightful. Yeah, your family is nodding along.
Yeah.
There they are. They're nodding sagely. Exaggerated nods.
Oh, I think actually Paul's air supply and his gas mask seems to be a little... Oh, no, he corrected it. That's okay now.
Oh, he's fine. Gosh, you can... not having air for a little bit will do you some good.
That is what they say. Now, Craig, maybe you've got the next Did You Know fact for us.
Yeah, I have it. Let's see here. I opened it up. Did you know that the original story of the hit film The Santa Claus was actually inspired by a true story here in our town?
Wow. I had no idea. So someone actually murdered Santa Claus and then became him here in Ortoland?
Yep. Yep. I know.
Now, was it... It wasn't like the Santa Claus, right?
I'm attempting
to curb the whimpering of your youngest Clayton.
No, gosh, of course not. No, what happened was, so every year around the holidays, we like to have like person dress up as Santa. And at that time, it was Fred Baggs. It was his year, and someone mistakenly thought Fred Baggs was trying to steal some of the gifts and hurt someone, and then they ended up making him pass away. And then, of course, the movie studios caught on, and they put a positive spin to it, and now you have The Santa Claus starring Tom Allen, and it's a huge hit.
Tom Allen?
You mean Tim Allen?
Oh, what did I say?
It's okay.
It's all right.
there's so many movies, and you know, you're going through the lines at Target every day. I'm sure things get confused. It is Tim Allen, but you know, Judge Reinhold is also a notorious prepper.
Yeah, he is. He is. He absolutely. I've never met Judge. We only communicate over Y-mail, but he's a great guy.
Taken on sort of like a Judge Dredd persona here in this apocalyptic landscape.
I'm not familiar with that. Who's Judge Brett? You said Judge Brad? What does that mean?
You know, I think we're going to go down too much of a rabbit hole if I get into this. Vince, you don't need to know fact for it.
I sure do. I didn't know that, guys. But did you know, despite its ubiquity in most prepping circles, bottled water is actually not allowed here in Ortolan because it's too wasteful. Forever in a landfill. Do you remember that campaign? That, you know, originated right here in Ortolan.
Interesting. Is that why there's always a crying Native American man out on the edge of town?
Yep. No, I think he may just be lost, so we should send someone to help that gentleman. I think that it's really interesting. There are a number of different strategies that the citizens here employ to store their water. I've heard saturated sponges. Mm-hmm. I've heard real big buckets.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard pet camels. These are just some. Now, Craig, maybe you have different insights. What does your family do?
Sure. So, you know, like the when you have like a pair of reader's glasses and they come in a case?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, what I do is I go buy the readers in the case. I chuck the readers because I have great sight and store my water right in there.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Sweet boy.
Glass cases are notoriously watertight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, suspiciously, yeah. Actually. If you look at those things, they don't seem like they'd hold a lot of water.
But then it's like they're designed to almost with their cylindrical form.
Yeah.
You're really making me think. You know, what Rand used to do is harness all of his water in a cactus, but he never quite really figured out how to get it out. It was too spiky.
Yeah, you suck one of those things, you're going to have a mouth of spikes. Gosh. Oh, Rand. What a dork.
I know. And Vince, I didn't know that, but did you guys know that Ortolan, Pennsylvania, is the only place that cargo shorts are still cool?
I'm wearing two pair right now.
Oh, you are. You've got like a very thin liner pair.
Yeah. You see the underneath? That's where I have all the big pockets. You see these?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have cargo shorts, you have cargo shirts, cargo hats. Mm-hmm. Anything with pockets is sort of demode here in Ortolan.
Yeah. You got to, at any point, one of those seven could happen. So whether, you know, you have your cargo shorts on, a cargo tank, a cargo thong, or a cargo shoes, like, you got to be prepared, and any extra space is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And that way you can always keep a DVD copy or Blu-ray copy of Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Incredibly well said. Wow.
Craig, could you incredibly well say our last Did You Know fact for us?
Absolutely. Did you know that we are the best carpenters in all the United States on Yelp?
So not in reality?
Well, I don't know. There's no way to really measure that. But we're the highest rated carpenters of any town on Yelp.
I mean, I believe
fascinating.
It. There's so much interesting, innovative construction going on here. Can you give us an example of something you've built?
Yep. I recreated Epcot Center.
It's underground, though.
Yeah, the entire thing. It's a one-to-one scale Epcot Center. It's entirely underground, fully staffed. Fully staffed, yeah.
So you still work at Verizon, but you've also created this miraculous feat with an entire staff of people working for you?
That is correct. Yeah, I manage. So obviously I won't be able to do two jobs, be a sales representative at Verizon, and manage
Epcot Center.
Yeah.
Not to mention writing a magazine the size of a Sears catalog every week.
Not to mention.
Wow.
Bi-weekly.
You know what, Elliot? What I've learned here is that there's a level of productivity in industry that goes into prepping that I maybe thought about but didn't truly consider until now.
I completely agree, Vince. I mean, the innovation here is staggering, and I, for one, am glad this was on the list of Rand's all-time favorite towns.
Couldn't agree more. Now, you've been already such a help and joy to us, Craig, and your family. Again, oh, look at this. They're in a little pyramid. Is this like a routine?
It is, yeah. They love the... Have you ever seen the film Bring It On 2?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're doing, I see it. They're doing that. They're doing it, the whole routine, because they... This means they like you.
Yeah. They're so silent. So silent. I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. And I hope that... I mean, of course, they're not going to join us, but I hope you will join us in our last segment, Wish You Were Here.
Listeners, Wish You Were Here is our audio postcard, not only from us to you, but through you to Rand, the person who really matters. We wished he could join us, but instead we have his journal. We're giving a look back at a great, great man, and it goes a little something like this. Dear Rand, wish you were here again in Ordalin, Pennsylvania.
A haven for doomsday preppers of all ilk.
But also some a grocery store, a Verizon store, and a Target for any of your doomsday needs.
A town where it doesn't really matter exactly what you believe in, as long as you believe that the world is coming to an end.
A town where you can learn all about phones, Target, or visit an underground Epcot center.
A town where if you've been persecuted for switching, being the brand spokesperson for one telephone company, and then you switch to another one, you can come here and you're safe.
And a town that you're going to want to hunker down and visit.
Farewell from these parts to yours.